Hello listeners, and welcome to the first episode of The Conspiracy Vault. Today, I am here to talk to you about QAnon, a far-right, unfounded, and wide-ranging conspiracy theory that explores a supposed plot by an alleged deep state against Donald Trump and his supporters. The theory details a secret war that Trump is waging against this deep state that is said to be made up of elite, Satan-worshipping paedophiles and child-trafficking members of government, business, and the media, including most of Hollywood. An article on the BBC website reads, QAnon, what is it and where did it come from? Written by Mike Wendling for the BBC, the article reads, Twitter has announced a crackdown on the QAnon conspiracy theory, banning thousands of accounts and blocking web addresses linking to videos and websites spreading QAnon's bizarre ideas. It's a fringe movement, but one that has picked up a tremendous head of steam online, particularly in the United States. So what is QAnon and who believes in it? At its heart, QAnon is a wide-ranging, unfounded conspiracy theory that says that Donald Trump is waging a secret war against elite Satan-worshipping paedophiles in government. QAnon believers have speculated that this fight will lead to a day of reckoning where prominent people such as Hillary Clinton will be arrested and executed. That's the basic story, but there are so many offshoots, detours, and internal debates that the total list of QAnon claims is enormous and often contradictory. Adherents draw in news events, historical facts, and numerology to develop their own far-fetched conclusions. Where did it all start? In October 2017, an anonymous user put a series of posts on the message board 4chan. These messages became known as Q-drops or breadcrumbs, often written in cryptic language, peppered with slogans, pledges, and pro-Trump themes. Nobody actually believes it, right? Actually, thousands do. The amount of traffic to mainstream social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, and YouTube has exploded since 2017. And indications are that the numbers have gone up further during the coronavirus pandemic. Judging by social media, there are hundreds of thousands of people who believe in at least some of the bizarre theories offered up by QAnon. Its popularity hasn't been diminished by events which would seem to debunk the whole thing. For instance, early Q drops focused on the investigation by Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller. QAnon supporters claimed Mr. Mueller's inquiry into Russian interference in the 2016 US election was really an elaborate cover story for an investigation into paedophiles. When it concluded with no such bombshell revelation, the attention of the conspiracy theorists drifted elsewhere. True believers contend deliberate misinformation is sown into Q's messages, in their minds making the conspiracy theory impossible to disprove. What impact has it had? QAnon supporters drive hashtags and coordinate abuse of perceived enemies, the politicians, celebrities, and journalists who they believe are covering up for paedophiles. It's not just threatening messages online. Twitter says it took action against QAnon because of the potential for offline harm. Several QAnon believers have been arrested after making threats or taking offline action. In one notable case in 2018, a heavily armed man blocked a bridge over the Hoover Dam. Matthew Wright later pleaded guilty to a terrorism charge. Could it have an impact on the US election? Studies indicate that most Americans haven't heard of QAnon, but for many believers, it forms the foundation of their support for President Trump. The president has, unwittingly or not, retweeted QAnon supporters, and last month his son, Eric Trump, posted a QAnon meme on Instagram. Dozens of QAnon supporters are running for Congress in November. Many have little hope, but some, such as Marjorie Taylor Greene in Georgia, appear to have a good chance of winning a seat. It's quite likely that a QAnon supporter, or someone sympathetic to the conspiracy theory, will sit in the next US Congress. So, exactly where did this conspiracy theory come from? How long has it been around, and when did it gain so much traction? Let me start by talking to you about 4chan. What is 4chan? An article on the Washington Post written by Caitlin Dewey titled Absolutely Everything You Need to Know to Understand 4chan, the Internet's Own Boogeyman, says 4chan, the most elusive of internet beasts, has set a whole lot of press lately. little of it good. First, the site was blamed for leaking the stolen nude photographs of dozens of female celebrities. Later, it invented an unfunny and inexplicable mascot for Ebola and encouraged witless new iPhone users to microwave their phones. That latter rumor gained so much traction, the Los Angeles Police Department felt compelled to weigh in. Apparently convinced the Ninth Circle of Hell was not doing enough to sabotage itself, shady viral marketers posing as 4chan users then pretended to hack Emma Watson's nudes and, in the ensuing internet-wide cacophony, demanded that 4chan be shut down. The recent 4chan celebrity nude leaks have been an invasion of privacy, the hoaxers railed in an open letter against 4chan, and are also a clear indication that the internet needs to be censored. How exactly does one anonymous website generate such outrage? And how can a series of anonymous, time-sensitive message boards with an interface straight out of the GeoCities age, have such a profound, ranging impact on the internet at large? Most importantly, who the heck are these people, and don't they have anything better to do? No worries, bewildered reader, we have the answers. 4chan is a series of anonymous anything-goes forums. 4chan, in its layout and fundamental operation, is not terrifically different from Reddit, Something Awful, or other large-scale internet forums. This site is broken up into threads where users can discuss different topics, everything from civet coffee to sex toys. And something like 22 million users do that every month. A couple things make 4chan unusual as a forum, however. For one thing, unlike Reddit, users never need to make an account or pick a username, even a pseudonymous one. That means participants can say and do virtually anything they want with only the most remote threat of accountability. It also means you can't message other users or establish any kind of social relationship with them unless they reveal their identity in some way. For a social network, that's pretty weird. In fact, a number of sociologists have spent time studying exactly how it works. To further complicate things, 4chan threads expire after a certain amount of time. Less time for R-rated boards, more time for G or PG ones, which lends a sense of impermanence for the whole operation and means that users rarely see the exact same thing. Few posts last more than a few days before they're deleted from 4chan's servers. Posts are organized reverse chronologically, although organized may be overstating it. 4chan's interface is deliberately anachronistic minimalist, which can make it difficult for non-regular users to access. Bottom line, 4chan is a forum, nothing crazy or mysterious there. It's just a forum with no names, few rules, and few consequences, which is A, the philosophical antithesis to virtually every other mainstream social property, and B, means people can do and say just about anything they want. Who uses 4chan? According to the site's own statistics, the vast majority of its users are young, college-educated men with an interest in Japanese culture, video games, comics, and technology. Most live in English-speaking countries, the United States, Britain, Canada, and Australia. But the site also sees sizable traffic from Germany, Sweden, and France. In late 2010, a 4chan user conducted an unscientific survey of other site users, which found that, among other things, most 4chan users don't discuss the site offline, and most users wouldn't let their kids join in. The site's founder urged readers to take the survey with a massive grain of salt. Since the site thrives on anonymity, he pointed out, there's ultimately no way to know who uses it with any certainty. Why is 4chan important, and why should I care? Three reasons. 4chan is the first original incubator for a huge number of memes and behaviours that we now consider central to mainstream internet culture. Secondly, 4chan is responsible for some of the largest hoaxes, cyberbullying incidences, and internet pranks of the past 5 years. Thirdly, Anonymous got its start on 4chan, and the Hacktivist Collective is an increasingly important player in news events. In short, the full list of things 4chan has given the internet would be pretty extensive, but here's a good start on the list. Number 1. Lolcats. Funny pictures of cats with text superimposed on them. Dusty the Cat, an abused cat in Oklahoma whose videos were posted to YouTube. 4chan tracked down the cat owner and sent his details to the police. advice animals, pictures of animals or humans with stereotypical or archetypal captions superimposed. Rage comics, a genre of simple, line-drawn webcomics. You probably recognise some of its most familiar characters from memes. Rickrolling, the practice of sending someone a link that actually, secretly, links to the music video for Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up. Chocolate Rain, 4chan users swarmed the music video for Tay Zonday's Chocolate Rain, thereby moving it up the YouTube charts and transforming it into a veritable meme. Several mainstream artists have since covered it. And the bad side of 4chan, number one, Celebgate, the leak of dozens of stolen celebrity nude photos, which, while no longer available on 4chan, still exist as downloadable torrents across the web. Gamergate, an ongoing movement to expose corruption in video game journalism, which was drummed up by 4chan users. Gamergate has since wrecked the lives of several female gamers and commentators and spawned a larger discussion about the way that industry treats women. The cyberbullying of Jesse Slaughter, one of the earliest high-profile incidents of cyberbullying, in which 4chan members sent death threats and calls to an 11-year-old girl who would later make multiple suicide attempts. Google and poll bombing, voting or searching for the same terms en masse to either sabotage an online vote or make a topic trend artificially. 4chan has successfully gotten a swastika to trend on Google. Fake bomb threats. A vast number of hoaxers have posted mass bomb and shooting threats to 4chan, prompting several arrests and evacuations. Hashtag cut for Bieber. A Twitter hashtag that encouraged young believers to cut themselves to demonstrate their love for the performer. Hashtag leak for J-Law. A similar social media prank that encouraged women to post their nude photos in support of Jennifer Lawrence. Bikini Bridge. An invented beautus fitness trend that encouraged women to lose weight to create a gap between the bones in their hip and pelvis. The trend, though fake, eventually caught on in online eating disorder communities. Apple Wave, an alleged feature on the iPhone 6 hyped by 4chan users on Twitter wherein people can charge their phones by microwaving them. Needless to say, that's one of many 4chan news hoaxes. Ebola-chan, a jokey cartoon mascot for Ebola that in the hands of some particularly unprincipled 4chan users became a hoax directed at vulnerable West Africans. The list does go on. Doesn't 4chan have any rules? There are a few rules. Users are banned from violating US law, including copyright law, and from posting other people's personal information, impersonating site administrators, and using bots on the site. Users can post racist, graphic, and other grotesque material, but only on the board B. There's more on this later. 4chan has teams of referees, it calls, moderators or janitors, who can delete posts and ban users who post illegal content. But 4chan is notoriously tight-lipped about who moderates it and how much. 4chan appears that secrecy is part of its ethos. There is no way for an end user to accurately judge the amount of moderation taking place at any given point in time, the site explains in an FAQ. That doesn't mean 4chan is inherently evil, or that everything on the site is somehow depraved. Just like Reddit or Hacker News or anything else, the good and the bad coexist. You get message boards like B, which frequently traffic in gore and other shock porn, but you also get people talking about how to roast raw coffee beans or come out as gay to their families. 4chan's board topics include cooking, fitness, fashion, technology, music, and math. They also include several boards dedicated to weapons, politically incorrect discussion, and hardcore, often disturbing porn. Huge swaths of the site are dedicated to anime, manga, and other Japanese cultural outputs, a legacy of the site's creation in 2003, when 4chan's founder, Christopher Moot Poole, created the site in October of that year. He drew largely on the community in one of Something Awful's anime forums. Poole, 15 at the time, is now in his mid-20s. So whenever we talk about the hoaxes and leaks and other icy 4chan stuff, where does that come from? 4chan, as of this writing, has 63 boards, or sub-forums. Two of those, B and Poll, are primarily responsible for 4chan's less than stellar reputation. Poll, or politically incorrect, ostensibly exists to discuss news and politics, but those discussions frequently dissolve into racial or misogynistic slurs. Of course, that's not so different from, say, the Washington Post comments section. But while the Washington Post employs people to make sure the N-word and other nastiness doesn't get around, Pol hurls them around frequently. This is where we saw the birth of the Ebola Chan meme. As gross as Pol can get, however, B is another animal entirely. The board serves as a kind of catch-all release valve for all on rape porn, self-harm pictures, and creepy drawings of scantily clad children that aren't allowed in other forums. That's by design, too. 4chan technically bans trolling, racism, and grotesque imagery elsewhere on the site, but permits it in B. Even B isn't totally awful. A thread posted just this morning debates good Netflix recommendations, but it's still unfathomable grab bag of the random, the gross, and the downright bizarre. How do 4chan in-jokes morph into major internet trends? In a phrase, what happens on 4chan does not stay on 4chan, not when it gets big. Anyway, in-jokes and other benign ephemera tend to filter out organically via users' other online networks and social media accounts. Celebgate, as I wrote earlier this month, reached the mainstream via a joint Reddit 4chan user named John Meneses. But frequently, 4chan is a bit more proactive in pushing its creations on the masses. When users orchestrate major hoaxes or pranks, for instance, they'll often create fake Twitter accounts and hashtags to popularize the story or attract media attention. They're also quite adept at gaming any platform that surfaces content based on popularity. That includes not only Twitter, which highlights trending topics, but also YouTube and Google Trends. Because certain forums have been so successful at getting a group of people to take action at once, 4chan's been credited for pulling off some of the highest profile collective actions in the history of the internet. But why would anybody do that? Honestly, it's very difficult to guess. 4chan's motives, particularly since no one knows exactly who uses the site, and in exactly what numbers, but generally speaking, based on the amount of hours hanging around the site, the people that spread hoaxes are often doing it for the lols, the visceral joy of laughing at someone else's stupidity or expense. Even a decade after its launch, it's pretty obvious that 4chan was founded by a teenage boy, and also obvious, I suspect, that many of its users still fall in that demographic. Despite 4chan's insistence that minors aren't allowed on the site, but there are plenty of other reasons to use 4chan too, of course, for other people. 4chan's radical anonymity also functions as something of a safe space, a place to discuss interests or curiosities that would be taboo anywhere else. The frequency of offensive language and slurs, usually so casually, even unmaliciously, would seem to suggest users just crave a place to shake off any and all social rules. In fact, Pools said as much in an interview with the New York Times in 2010. I get a lot of email messages from people who say thanks for giving them a place to vent, an outlet to say what they can't say in real life, with friends or work colleagues, things that they know are wrong, but they still want to say. End quote. That said, there's no doubt that a lot of legitimately racist, misogynistic, homophobic and paedophilic and otherwise unsavory people flock to 4chan too. And those shady characters, mixed in with the pranksters and the radical anonymity advocates, make for a volatile mixture, a place where any kind of mischief is possible. So should we shut 4chan down? No. Outside of frantic marketing, the serial hoaxers, annoying internet humans that generated the Emma Watson nudes faux scandal this week, very few people want to see 4chan go offline. The site's founder, Poole, has argued convincingly that there's inherent value in having and shedding multiple identities online, and 4chan is really a hotbed of creativity and dialogue, even if much of that creativity and dialogue is stuff you'd rather not see. That said, 4chan's moderation, much like Reddit's, leaves something to be desired, particularly because it's so very, blackly opaque. For all we know, Poole himself is the only wizard behind the curtain. But maybe that metaphor isn't apt. It would seem to imply, after all, that somebody's running the 4chan show, and when all is said and done, 4chan's boundless, faceless anarchy is its defining characteristic, and the reason it's become a kind of internet boogeyman, equally hated and unknown. So after reading that article, I wondered, how does all of this link to QAnon, Donald Trump and Satan-worshipping Hillary Clinton and her deep state team who are planning to overthrow the president. In October 2017, Donald Trump was hosting a dinner party for military commanders and their spouses. Despite the presidential media corps being dismissed at 7 p.m, Trump rounded up the reporters and guests to give an impromptu speech. Within this speech, Trump gestures out to his guests and is quoted saying, "You guys know what this represents. Maybe it's the calm before the storm." A reporter chimes in and asks, "What's the storm?" To which Trump replies slowly and purposefully, "Could be the calm before the storm." Reporters begin asking, "From Iran? On ISIS? On what?" Trump goes on to praise his guests, calling them the world's greatest military people, before excusing the reporters and leaving everyone confused and questions unanswered. Here is a short audio clip of this exchange.
"You guys know what this represents?
Tell us, sir.
Maybe it's the calm before the storm."
"What's the storm?"
"Could be the calm before the storm."
"What storm, Mr. President?"
"You'll find out."
Then comes the 4chan post. Vox.com released an article by Jane Coasting explaining the first Q post on the website 4chan after Trump's speech. It reads, "The first post from an anonymous user claiming to be a high-level government informant came on October 28 on the 4chan message board poll. The user was nicknamed Q after Q-level security clearance, the Department of Energy equivalent of top secret. NG refers to National Guard. The post said this, HRC extradition already in motion effective yesterday with several countries in case of cross-border run. Passport approved to be flagged effective 10:30 at 12:01 a.m. Expect massive riots organized in defiance and others fleeing the US to occur. USMs will conduct the operation while NG activated. Proof check. Locate an NG member and ask if activated for duty. 10:30 across most major cities." A few hours later, Q posted again, adding coded phrases that poll users would interpret and argue over for months. In short, he or she appeared to state that Hillary Clinton had been detained by authorities and that Trump knew the criminal rogue elements, including Clinton, had to be arrested, whilst referencing billionaire philanthropist George Soros, himself the subject of a number of conspiracy theories. The post read this, "Mockingbird, HRC detained, not arrested, brackets, yet. Where is Hoomer? Follow Hoomer. This has nothing to do with Russia, brackets, yet. Why does POTUS surround himself with generals? What is military intelligence? Why go around the letter 3 agencies? What Supreme Court case allows for the use of MI versus congressional assembled and approved agencies? Who has ultimate authority over us, branches of military, without approval conditions unless 90 plus in wartime conditions? What is the military code? Where is AW being held? Why? POTUS will not go on TV to address nation. POTUS must isolate himself to prevent negative optics. POTUS knew removing criminal rogue elements as a first step was essential to free and pass legislation. Who has access to everything classified? Do you believe HRC, Soros, Obama, etc. have more power than Trump? Fantasy. Whoever controls the office of the presidency controls this great land. They never believed for a moment they, brackets Democrats and Republicans, would lose control. This is not a RVD battle. Why did Soros donate all his money recently? Why would he place all his funds in an RC? Mockingbird, 10:30:17. God bless fellow patriots. Posted on 4chan poll October 28, 2017. These postings were thrilling for people steeped in far-right conspiracy theory lore. From the very real Operation Mockingbird, a CIA effort to blackmail journalists and give out false information to share propaganda, to the wild theory that Huma Abedin, a former Hillary Clinton staffer and ex-wife of Anthony Weiner, was secretly working for the Muslim Brotherhood. Brackets, she wasn't. Even the name Q seemed to imply that this person knew things that others didn't. The rapidly expanding group of people who follow Q's postings and believe them became known as QAnon. Q has tried to offer proof that he, she, or they have real intel. They posted images that Redditors believed confirmed Q was on Air Force One and thus had real information from the president himself. Some followers even believe that Trump is Q, though others think it's John F. Kennedy Jr., who they believe faked his 1999 death. Q offered real hope to Trump supporters. Everything is fine. Trump has everything under control, and everyone who stands in his way will soon be sent to prison, literally. In a posting on November 1, 2017, Q said that on November 3rd and 4th, John Podesta, chair of Clinton's 2016 campaign, would be arrested, military control would take hold, and public riots would be organized in serious numbers to prevent the arrest and capture of more senior public officials. Another post read, "My fellow Americans, over the course of the next several days, you will undoubtedly realize that we are taking back our great country, the land of the free, from the evil tyrants that wish to do us harm and destroy the last remaining refuge of shining light. On POTUS's order, we have initiated certain fail-safes that shall safeguard the public from the primary fallout which is slated to occur 11.3 upon the arrest announcement of Mr. Podesta, actionable 11.4. We will be initiating the emergency broadcast system, or EMS, during this time in an effort to provide a direct message, avoiding the fake news, to all citizens. Organizations and or people that wish to do us harm during this time will be met with swift fury. Certain laws have been pre-lifted to provide our great military the necessary authority to handle and conduct these operations at home and abroad." Obviously none of this happened. There were no public riots or mass arrests, or the use of emergency broadcasts. In fact, the emergency broadcast system went out of service in 1997 and was replaced by the emergency alert system. The overwhelming majority of Q's assertions are hilariously untrue. That North Korean leader Kim Jong-un was replaced in power by the CIA, that Seth Rich was murdered by MS-13 under orders from former DNC chair Debbie Wasserman Schultz, that many prominent Democrats are currently wearing ankle monitors because they are securely under arrest. The fact is that QAnon's base assertion that Trump really is in control of everything is an inherently strange one to make when the Trump administration does actually control the entire federal government. But that didn't stop QAnon from percolating, first moving from 4chan to 8chan, 4chan's weirder equivalent, and then pushing outward to the internet, to Twitter and YouTube, with believers making explainer videos on QAnon that get hundreds of thousands of views. Conspiracy theorists and members of the alt-right and far-right were among the first to jump on the QAnon bandwagon, though some have decided Q has been compromised. But so did leaders of a right-leaning anti-abortion group, and so did some celebrities, like Roseanne. As New York magazine's Paris Martineau detailed in December 2017, the QAnon hashtag has been used so many times on Twitter it's now virtually untrackable. QAnon is now about everything and it's in the real world. QAnon has only gotten bigger over the past few months. Former MLB pitcher and conservative pundit Kurt Schilling shared a video on Twitter in June that alleges that QAnon isn't just about Trump. It claims that every US president before Trump was engaged in a criminal conspiracy with pedophile rings and the deep state and pharmaceutical companies, all to enslave the American people. Q occasionally references the Pizzagate conspiracy theory, which led one man to walk into a pizzeria in Washington, D.C. with an assault rifle, because conspiracy theorists claimed that Hillary Clinton and John Podesta ran a child sex ring in the basement. Accusations of paedophilia aimed at celebrities, companies and politicians are a critical part of QAnon. Roseanne and others have tweeted the unprecedented increase in sex trafficking arrests taking place under the Trump administration is the direct result of Trump working with Mueller to arrest paedophiles nationwide. For the record, there has not been an unprecedented increase in sex trafficking arrests. There's a reason for this. Accusations of paedophilia are the easiest and most effective way to tarnish someone's reputation with no proof necessary, as paedophilia is universally considered a horrific and horrendous affront. And perhaps the only thing even more horrendous is the murder of children. It's no wonder then that one of the main proponents of QAnon posted on YouTube would be forced to comprehend films of innocent children pleading for their lives while people are butchering them, once the storm came to pass. QAnon isn't about protecting Trump. In their view, it's about saving children from rape and murder, and who could oppose that? But the open source nature of QAnon, where Q posts something for thousands of people to interpret as they see fit, means other conspiracy theorists fit neatly within QAnon, like ones about false flag shootings, Jewish bankers controlling the world, or the Illuminati. As the Daily Beast's Will Sommer wrote in July, while the storm is at the centre of the QAnon narrative, it's also flexible enough to fold in just anything that makes the news. Q is fond of hinting that each mass shooting is a false flag attack organised by the cabal, and he used a blurry webcam picture of a flash of light to claim that the deep state had tried to shoot down Trump's plane. One recent example, when NBC's Ben Collins went on the Today Show on Wednesday to attempt to explain QAnon, one poster alleged that his script had been written by Jacob Rothschild. The Rothschild family has been at the centre of an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory for centuries, and for the record, Jacob Rothschild is 82 years old, lives in England, and is not writing scripts for the Today Show. The tweet said, "Saw this live about an hour ago. Total hit job. Completely biased and clearly a written script by Jacob Rothschild himself. @1_ is responsible, but he does what Jacob wants. They really don't have much ammunition left. Getting closer to mass arrests. #pedivores. #QAnon. #arrestpodesta. Beginning in early 2018, QAnon adherents made their way to the world outside the internet. 200 QAnon supporters marched in DC in June when the Inspector General released its report criticizing the actions of FBI officials. Like its former director during the investigation into Clinton's emails, QAnon insisted there was a second secret report which would send virtually every high-level Democrat to Guantanamo Bay if they weren't already on their way. One man, Matthew Wright, took a rifle and a handgun and barricaded himself in his car on the Hoover Dam, holding a sign reading "Release the OIG memo," referring to that supposed second report. And Michael Avenatti, Stormy Daniels' attorney, was allegedly followed in person by a QAnon believer on July 29th, while Q posted that a message had been sent. As the Pizzagate incident in DC showed, conspiracy theories breaking into the real world have consequences, and those consequences can be extremely dangerous in a charged political climate and in a media environment with no overarching guardrails, where nothing is false and anything could be true. I then found a picture of QAnon supporters at a Trump rally not long after QAnon began picking up traction. It was soon after social media and YouTube influencers began spreading the supposed decoded message from 4chan that followers showed up at this Trump rally in Florida. A picture on USA Today describes a photo from this rally saying, "People cheer as President Donald Trump speaks at the Florida State Fairgrounds Expo Hall in Tampa, Florida, July 31st. A sign showing the letter Q can be seen. Q stands for QAnon, a conspiracy theory believed to have originated in 2017. So now we know where QAnon came from and who it is supposedly run by. How did it pick up so much traction in the last 6 months? And why does the QAnon movement have thousands of members now all over the world?" An article on the Washington Post, written by Avi Selk and Abby Allheiser, explains it this way. "The internet has made it easier than ever before to evangelize on behalf of a conspiracy theory. But this week, the missionaries for QAnon used their physical bodies to spread the word with T-shirts and a paper sign saying 'We are Q,' aimed at the cameras covering President Trump's campaign rally. People noticed, including journalists. The signs became mainstream news, and the news of QAnon spread. On Reddit's Great Awakening discussion board devoted to QAnon and its supporters, a user wrote, "QAnon is finally trending on Twitter. QAnon is as convoluted as any other conspiracy theory out there, but with one distinguishing feature. QAnon is the result of a twisted sort of optimism. It gives the people who believe in the internet conspiracy hope that a reckoning is about to hit. Algorithms are one reason a conspiracy theory goes viral. Another reason might be you. The layers of the conspiracy go like this. Take your standard democratic pedophilia ring and world denomination fantasy, and that's only the base, like the crust of a pizza. Onto this, you layer a fantasy in which President Trump, while posing as a flailing president in public, is secretly orchestrating a crackdown on the entire cabal. Trump is working behind the scenes with special counsel Robert S. Mueller III, whose real federal investigation is aimed at the Clintons. Trump has loyalists spread through the US intelligence agencies, which are otherwise dens of the cabal. The crackdown is imminent, it's always imminent, and it will be glorious. Better yet, we don't need to simply wait in ignorance, because a high-level operative in Trump's alliance has for the last 9 months been communicating with the public through cryptic posts on an online internet forum. This is how it spread from there. Whether he knows it or not, Trump birthed the QAnon conspiracy theory with a single sentence uttered to reporters while he posed with senior military leaders for a photo op in October last year. "You guys know what this represents," Trump said. "Maybe it's the calm before the storm." On those forums, Trump's comment was filled with meaning and his storm must be imminent. For weeks, amateur theorists battered around ideas of what Trump's storm might be. If not a military strike, perhaps it was a crackdown on the so-called deep state. Obama loyalists, the president claims, infest his administration. If not that, then something else. 4chan is entirely anonymous, so no one theory or theorist stood out from any other, until Q came along. Their post promised 4chan that exactly what it was hoping for was about to come true. Q's first string of posts on October 28th did not read like typical forum speculation. They were written with authority and phrased as cryptic prophecy. Many referenced Operation Mockingbird. Q hinted in another post, more than 70 appeared on various forums within that first week, referred to the imminent arrest of Hillary Clinton. This would, Q promised, be followed by the detention of other liberals, globalists, and an evil corruption network of players that had controlled the world for decades until Trump came along and outmaneuvered them. When their early predictions did not come true, Q simply made more predictions, all the while dropping hints that suggested Q was a high-level operative embedded in Trump's counter-conspiracy. The Q in their pseudonym stands for Q-level security clearance, or basically super-duper top secret. Q once posted in entirety, _conf_go(#T-W-I-T_P_act_small#_red1_red2_Q). Nonsense? Probably. But later that same afternoon in November, Trump tweeted, #SmallBusinessSaturday. Small and small. To devotees, it's proof that Trump really is working with Q. As is the nature of a good conspiracy theory, believers began to do Q's work for Q. After so many missed predictions, the dispatches tended to become even more cryptic, but cryptic worked. Quickly and quietly, at first, QAnonism spread from 4chan and 8chan to small conspiracy news sites, personal blogs, Twitter and YouTube. Some videos devoted to QAnon theories have hundreds of thousands of views on the platform. Q's messages were so vague that fans could easily graft their preferred fantasy villains onto its cabal of Democrat-led globalists, the Illuminati or the Rothschilds, for example. As it spread, its circles of supporters discussed how to spread the word. To express this feeling, some started to quote a specific line from the Bible. QAnon spread further through an unholy combination of media manipulation and true belief, said Whitney Phillips, an incoming assistant professor of communication and rhetorical studies at Syracuse University. Although the posts about QAnon have the feelings of a religion or a cult, There's no way to truly know whether QAnon evangelists are spreading the conspiracy theory because they believe it is true. As is often the case with 4chan, they just want to spread chaos. Maybe it's a combination of both. Quote, when you are talking about traditional proselytizers, you can take seriously that the people doing it are actually, for example, Mormons, who trust that they believe they are doing it right, said Phillips, whose work often focuses on the amplification of misinformation and media manipulation. Quote, in this particular case, you can have that evangelical drive without trusting that they are actually believing what they are selling. The only thing to know for sure about the spread of QAnon is that the evangelists want to make themselves and the conspiracy theory more visible. Over the next several months, that drive worked, helped along by a wild and confusing daily narrative coming from the White House. It provides coherence to a real-world narrative that is so lacking in coherence, Phillips said. The conspiracy is a way to understand it more clearly, even if you are engaging with it as a joke. In early January, the wildly popular Fox News host Sean Hannity gave hashtag QAnon a major signal boost, helping the theory rocket into mainstream consciousness. Roseanne Barr became an apparent devotee, and in March, her public theorizing morphed into a string of bizarre racist tweets that led to the cancellation of her hit TV show. As Isaac Stanley Becker wrote elsewhere in the Washington Post, an armed militant group became convinced that a homeless camp was a secret base for child sex trafficking rings, which feature heavily in QAnon fantasies. This week, Q posted a picture of an office belonging to a lawyer critical of Trump, after which a man showed up prowling around outside the building, bizarre enough to concern police. About a month ago, Q evangelists began to target members of the White House press corps, reporters who regularly get to question the president's press secretary, in their quest to spread the word. Quote, I started getting these emails and DMs and replies to everything I'd tweet. Ask about Q, said Sagar Njeti, who reports for the Daily Caller. He said the requests were not coming from the caller's regular audience, which leans conservative, but from members of an online fringe he had not known existed. A brief dip into those anonymous forums was enough to persuade Njeti that he would not be asking Trump if he was secretly allied with Q. Only after he tweeted his refusal did he realise how deep Q fervour ran. Quote, I'm no stranger to nasty DMs, but this was insane, Njeti said. I think I probably got over 60 to 70 DMs on Twitter. People went to my Facebook page. People found my Instagram and started going through old photos. Quote, ask about Q. You'll be famous. What is there to lose? Ask about Q, you coward. An acquaintance of mine, her mother, called her and told her to tell me I'd lost my rocker, and Jesse said. I need to ask about Q to prove my bona fides. He's seen viral conspiracy theories come and go, sometimes on the left, sometimes on the right. He usually rolls his eyes at them. I think this one is truly, legitimately dangerous, Njeti said. The rhetoric and dedicated base of believers, and the patterns of propensity for violence. I think it's only a matter of time before someone abuses the open access of the White House, in terms of getting a press pass and causing a scene. Nothing is outside the realm of possibility, he said. It took a paper sign reading I am Q to bring the conspiracy theory to its latest threshold of visibility. And Jesse decided not to ask the White House about QAnon, but now, as curiosity about it is spreading, the conspiracy is becoming a series of explanatory articles. Phillips said that when journalists become involved in reporting on things like QAnon, conspiracy evangelists benefit from the core belief that drives journalism itself, to provide the public with truthful information. The problem is that the information is exactly what the evangelists want. It risks bringing more people into the story who can be converted, Phillips said. These reports, they are serving an important function, even as they are doing the worst possible thing they could do. So, does QAnon really pose any danger on everyday life? David Aronovich on theaustralian.com wrote an article that reads, earlier this month, General Michael Flynn, former director of the US Defense Intelligence Agency and National Security Advisor, took an al fresco oath of loyalty with family and friends and posted it on Twitter using the hashtag #TakeTheOath. At the end of the oath, they vowed, in a phrase that sounded like over-translation from the Three Musketeers, Where we go one, we go all. Readers may not know what many of those reading, retweeting, or liking the General's video know. That the phrase and the hashtag indicate his support for an online conspiracy network that is becoming a cult. It's known as QAnon. You'll see its supporters at rallies for Donald Trump, and if you look for its hashtag WWG1WGA or Where We Go One, We Go All abbreviation online, you'll find tens of thousands of references. YouTube offers a cornucopia of QAnon videos, a full range of QAnon merchandise featuring the letter Q, and often a rabbit is available at all good Amazon sites near you. There are even QAnon candidates in US elections. The US president retweets contributions from QAnon activists. A decade ago, I posted a book about modern conspiracy theories. I had studied dozens of them, from the forged protocols of the Elders of Zion to 9/11 was an inside job, via the hidden bloodline of Christ. On the way, I looked at the government is poisoning us memes, baby sacrifice themes, beliefs in a second world government, Manchurian candidates, Barack Obama being an undercover Kenyan, accusations that the Clintons had taken murdering their aides, and that the Queen is actually running the world's banks. All were absurd, but some were actually demented. Now imagine one gigantic compendium theory which puts all of these together. That's QAnon. Donald Trump retweets contributions from QAnon activists. It emerged in 2016 with the release of via WikiLeaks of emails from the Democratic National Committee. References in the emails to pizza were taken by self-styled online researchers to mean child pornography. This led to a belief worthy of Labour's former deputy leader, Tom Watson, that there was an established cover-up of violent and even murderous child abuse by prominent Democrats. Not long afterwards, people came across an online bulletin put out by someone calling themselves Q, which purported to be the account by a US intelligence insider of a battle between the deep state of baby slayers, kleptocratic bankers, election stealers, mainstream media shills, the Pope, etc., and dissident forces. The battle had not yet been fully joined, but the day of reckoning was coming, and soon, a comment by the newly elected Trump that maybe it's the calm before the storm was taken as a sign that he was to lead the dissidents against the forces of evil. What's the storm? He was asked. You'll find out, he replied. Once a phenomenon on the fringes of the internet, the QAnon movement moved mainstream onto Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. The latter was facilitated by the algorithm which recommended videos to users of the platform. So in the same way that I get Marianne Faithfull recommended if I've asked for the Dubliners, so people looking at Princess Diana videos might end up with QAnon, and down the rabbit hole they went. Within weeks of being established, some of the best populated QAnon sites were pulling in several million visits per month. Millions more watched the YouTube videos. There was a Q app, it's gone now. There are Facebook groups with tens of thousands of members, many of them outside the US, not a few from Britain. People share a camaraderie, as evidenced by the slogan, which they love to repeat, reveal to each other that Michelle Obama is actually a man, praise each other for being part of the Great Awakening, and predict the coming storm. And this was even before the pandemic, which they call, of course, the plandemic. This week, Trump retweeted something from the Where We Go One, We Go All brother of Michael Flynn, who was promoting as a fearless warrior for the truth. A doctor who was in turn promoting the virtues of high hydroxychloroquine and the uselessness of face masks. This doctor also believes that infertility is caused by demonic spirits. Up till now, people have described QAnon as a conspiracy theory, but increasingly, I've come to think of it as something else. There are many reports of people of all ages effectively giving up family and friends to stay with their online community. Many are older and plenty of them are women, which is unusual. The commitment is to the group and to its beliefs. Anecdotally, in America at least, many of its adherents appear to be the kind of middle-class people who have lost out since the crash of 2008, subprime mortgage victims and the recently unemployed, people who feel powerless but need to believe that somewhere there's some meaning to it all. I think QAnon is our first online cult, a kind of cyber Jonestown, without a leader, but with sufficient momentum to generate its own direction. This has been assisted by Facebook's decision a couple of years ago to try to support meaningful social interaction in Facebook communities. After all, one girl's meaningful social interaction is another boy's Hitler Jugend. I think it's entirely possible that such groups will be able to move beyond cyberspace. The language of QAnon is of soldiers and warriors fighting battles against evil. It wouldn't take much for some of these soldiers to think that this fight badly needs to be taken to the physical world. Indeed, it would be astonishing if they didn't. Already there have been several instances of armed QAnon supporters being arrested while carrying weapons. A murder in New York last year of a mafia boss was carried out by a young man claiming that he was attacking the deep state. The FBI is worried that QAnon could yet supply its own Anders Breivik, the far-right mass murderer who killed 77 people in Norway in 2011. This being 2020, Twitter has recently taken action to remove 7,000 of the most egregious QAnon accounts, but there's not much that can be done about the more sophisticated and fastest mutating ones. YouTube has changed its algorithm and partly blocked the rabbit hole. Facebook is still working on its response. But what is a poor platform to do when the people most effectively spreading this stuff are elected world leaders and three-star generals? The fault, dear Brutus, is not in our own sights, but in ourselves. I reached out on Reddit to find out some more information on how this has affected people. Some users responded saying things like, "The Q person in my life has a long history of conspiracy beliefs. Aliens, pyramids, end of the world, theories about drugs, a fascination with paedophile rings and climate change denial, etc. This person is also in an evangelical religion. I know that this is not a cult per se, but there seems to be a lot of overlap, social isolation, making things outside seem dangerous, and that you can only survive if you are special or chosen. Both seem to prey on the lonely and isolated." Another person wrote, "I can tell you right now that all Q is accomplishing by perpetuating this cult is the tearing apart of families, and the followers are being hurt just as much as those that are not indoctrinated." If you'd like some real insight into how this online cult has devastated people and torn families apart, you can find an episode on my main podcast, The Cult Vault, that will explore this some more. Tune in next time, where I will be talking about another phenomenon within the conspiracy theory world that many of you may have heard about, Wayfair and its suspicious cabinet. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe and leave a review. If you'd like to get in touch, you can do so by emailing me at cultvaultpodcast@gmail.com or find me on Twitter and Instagram at cultvaultpod. I have a Patreon with exclusive content I release monthly. I'm your speaker, Casey, and this has been The Conspiracy Vault.